Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew in a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour three starts live right here, right now, on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. Our third and final hour, we will continue to get you ready for the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. Donnie's got on the dancing shoes because we go dancing tonight in Dayton, Ohio. The first two matchups of the first four, the champions of the NAC, Wagner, take on the champions of the MEAC, Howard, and then we have an at-large battle between Colorado State and Virginia. Is Donnie excited? We will find out here in this third and final hour. We continue to look at the regions that make up the field of 68 in the 2024 men's NCAA tournament and so much more here in this third and final hour. Up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, Donnie will be up bright and early tomorrow morning as the MLB season starts in Seoul, South Korea, between the Dodgers and the Padres. A small preview with Craig Mish up next as well.
Yeah, big deals, new season starting up there. But also, I always say this, because we are so excited for March Madness. We've been waiting for a while. The anticipation is great. But it's almost like preseason football in a way for me tonight, Ben, because when I get excited for the NFL, I just want to see football on my TV and then realize after 2 minutes it absolutely stinks.
No.
Now, I'm not saying the first four is bad. But you put Wagner and Howard on my TV, I'm going to be excited. Then they have a jump ball, and then nobody makes a shot for 4 minutes. I'm going to be like, this absolutely stinks. It's just a rite of passage. You got to get the appetizer out of the way, even if it is a terrible appetizer with Wagner and Howard.
So Howard checks in at 276 in the KenPom ratings. I'll get to that in just a moment. We got to welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience for this third and final hour. It is the early line all across Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. Howard checks in at 276 in the KenPom ratings. Wagner at 293. They are the two lowest rated teams in the entirety of the field of 68, according to KenPom. Wagner had to win three games on the road, the first ever school to do that in the history of the NAC tournament, to pull the upset to get in to the big dance. But don't count out those Seahawks that play with the second slowest tempo in college basketball. Who has the slowest out of 362 Division I teams? Virginia. Offense at a premium tonight in Dayton, Ohio. But as we went through in the first 2 hours of our show, Donnie, each and every region, all four that make up the 2024 NCAA tournament bracket, we started with the East. It is by far the most competitive, a gauntlet, and frankly the best, to the South, to the Midwest, and the West. We asked the public to end out our second hour, which is the most intriguing portion of the bracket, and nearly half of the public saying the East region, and for good reason.
Yeah, and it is for good reason, because you have that star-studded power. The number one overall seed is in the East, and they gave him a gauntlet to run through. But I do agree with your vote here, similarly here, Ben, to the West, which, again, you say, well, what's the most intriguing thing? Is it about star power? Is it about quality moving through? My second vote probably would have been the West. Why? I just told you. Like, I took a flyer on St. Mary's at a massive price. Again, it's not to win the championship. It's just trying to turn that ticket into some gold here, win a little bit of plus money, and then some of those things might break out in your favor. Say, let me just ride this ticket a little bit more. So theoretically, the West is very intriguing for me. North Carolina, can they get past that 1-8, 1-9 seed here, whether it be Mississippi State or Michigan State in that round number two? Can Arizona catch that lightning in a bottle, so talented, and make a run all the way through? And then, as again, as I just brought you up, I like Baylor. I think Baylor's a legitimate chance to get through this region. And then also that long shot ticket on St. Mary's, which could get knocked off in round number one. But also, I do think if they play Alabama, I love the matchup for St. Mary's. So some intriguing things to work with. But just from my money and my attention, as well as the public's attention with their vote, I think they got it right on the East here, because that is going to be a slugfest all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, the East region is just sensational. I shared the stat from our good friend Jim Root of Three Man Weave, who was on the Selection Sunday special. The cumulative sum of the KenPom ratings of the top four seeds in the East region is 20. Every other portion of the bracket is 40+. Why is it only 20? Because UConn is 1, Auburn is 4, Iowa State is 5, Illinois is 10. You have 4 of the top 10 teams in the country, according to one of the brightest minds in basketball, Kenneth Pomeroy, all in the same region and all on the first four lines, where Auburn, despite being the 4th seed in the East region, actually is the second highest rated KenPom team, 4th in all of the country. The reason I went with the West region is because I think it's very up in the air and could lead to some chaos. I have New Mexico at a 17-1 ticket to win the West and to get to the Final Four. One, because I believe in how Richard Pitino and the Lobos play basketball. 5th fastest tempo, Donnie, but also one of the 25 best defenses in the country. That's a really interesting lineup in terms of the metrics that work for a team. They get up and down the floor. They like to control pace, but then they can defend you to a level that is one of the best in the country and here in the NCAA tournament. And I just feel the path at the bottom of the bracket could allow for the Lobos to make some noise. Baylor will be there. New Mexico would have to probably play Baylor in the round of 32 and knock them off for this to be a potential. Of course, Arizona is the 2 seed, and anytime the 2 seed in a portion of the bracket has a better price to win the region than the 1 seed, again, it shows you madness anticipated.
Exactly, which is always the case. And we preach all throughout the regular season, right? Hey, play tough opponents here. The better your team, the better your seed will be. It just doesn't even seem like that's been the case. There's been way too many arguments moving through about why this team got the 1 seed, where they're lined up as the 1 seed, why they have such a tougher matchup here. And the same thing goes for UNC. But if we flip it back to that Eastern bracket, which I'm so intrigued by overall, like that matchup that I'm anticipating here, Iowa State versus Illinois, a team that's absolutely locked down on defense going against one of the more elite scoring teams in college basketball. And forget about it even as a team. You take a look at just the players they have, the one-on-ones. Can they make that happen here? There's going to be no Hilton magic because obviously these teams are playing on the road. And also BYU, how about the fun matchup here that we're anticipating versus Illinois? You might be looking at three balls going down left and right here. I just love this region from top to bottom where you're not going to be surprised. At least I won't be surprised if UConn doesn't make it to the Final Four as a favorite, not because they're not a great team, but just the teams they have to go through just to make it into the Final Four is absolutely incredible.
Not only is Auburn 4th in KenPom, they are 5th in the net and on the 4 line. They are probably very underseeded and in Connecticut's top half of the East region. I'm surprised, DRS, that you think it is going to be a matchup of the 2-3 in the East region in the Sweet 16, Iowa State and Illinois, and maybe not BYU causing some chaos there in the round of 32 against the Illini, who I think, by the way, are in for a test against Morehead State. I think Illinois wins outright. Are they going to cover against the champions of the Ohio Valley that loves to slow down the game in Morehead State? It's an 11.5 point spread. That might be a different story. We'll get back to the madness later on in this third hour. Now, MLB semi-opening day up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tomorrow, there is going to be a regular season Major League Baseball game. Bright and Early will probably bring you in-game live opportunities here on the Early Line, because opening day, semi-opening day, happens in Seoul, South Korea, between the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll get a small preview and breakdown of semi-opening day in just a moment. We'll look at everything around MLB with Craig Mish right here, right now, live on this Tuesday on the Early Line. Our MLB insider across the Sports Grid Network, the host of Newswire, in a little bit less than 50 minutes, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Craig, does it feel like Christmas morning for you tomorrow, bright and early in South Korea?
It'd be Hanukkah for me, Ben, to keep it real. But regardless of that, no. I mean, look, opening day is going to be the 28th of March for me, because naturally I'll be there at opening day when the Pirates take on the Marlins, and also be watching all the games that day. So, look, I understand having this overseas, and look, they're trying to grow the game. I totally get it. They're going to play overseas also in the future. But look, I mean, for me to get up at 4 a.m. or whatever it is to watch opening day, I think I'll probably catch the last couple of innings. Let's just put it that way.
So, Craig, as we get ready for semi-opening day in Seoul, 6:06 a.m. Eastern time, first pitch between the Dodgers and the Padres. We'll give you the expected opening day starters for both L.A. and San Diego in a moment. A former Padre, in fact, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, remains in the National League West, but goes from Southern California now to the Bay. Blake Snell, late last night, signing a two-year deal worth $62 million with the San Francisco Giants. Just a few days away from semi-opening day, just over a week away from true opening day in Major League Baseball. Craig, how did this deal between the Giants and Snell come together?
Well, we waited a long time for this to happen. You know, we got Josh Dobbs signed before Blake Snell. You know, these are things you couldn't have predicted several months ago. You know, look, the Giants, clearly a couple of years ago, when they reached out and they tried to get Aaron Judge and they tried to get Carlos Correa, it seems like they were trying to just sign guys. And generally speaking, it was obvious that they had money to spend. So Snell ends up going to the Giants. He doesn't get the long-term deal that he wanted. He gets a shorter-term deal. There's an opt-out after the first year. There's no question that this is not a huge win for Blake Snell, because the guaranteed money is nowhere near $200 million. But at the same time, does he make the Giants better? Absolutely. Could I see in a year or two us looking back and saying the Giants spent foolishly this offseason? I could see that too. But they're in a desperate situation. They're looking at the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are better. They're looking up at the Dodgers. The Dodgers are better. The Padres, I mean, I guess you could probably say they're a little bit better than them. I'm not even positive of that. Pressure is real in San Francisco to win, and therefore they added Chapman. They added Snell. They also added Jorge Soler. But it ain't Aaron Judge, that's for sure.
No.
And by the way, you take a look at that ballpark. I mean, Snell's a fantastic pitcher as is. He doesn't need any more help with that true pitcher's ballpark. Let me just bring up this thought process again around opening day. I love Major League Baseball. I love the pageantry of opening day where everybody plays. Let me ask you this question, because I know it is about money, but why couldn't we have still opened the series on opening day and still have been in South Korea? Like, well, the travel coming back, we'll give them an extra day off here. I think it would have been an awesome, like, crowning jewel of Major League Baseball on true opening day to have this series played with two big teams in South Korea. Why can't we do that? And why do we play it a week ahead of time? It takes the steam out of everything. It catches people off guard. Oh, the season actually started today. No, it doesn't. It's really 8 days later. What's the deal with that, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, they did it just for you, Donnie, just to get you upset to talk about it here
exactly
on the show.
I
mean, it worked. Yeah. I mean, it ended up working. I mean, it made you get a haircut, too. So, I mean, look, in the end, I think when you look at this, there's no question, Donnie, that we all want things to be the way they used to be. We just have to kind of get used to that. I mean, the NBA has a play-in tournament. Can you imagine talking about this 10 years ago? Like, the NBA is going to have extra teams playing, and some of them will get in, some of them will get out, and when they get in, they're not even at the top, they're at the bottom. Look, this is just more games, more money, more ways to engage fans across the world. And Donnie, to answer your question, why do they have to have so much time in between? It is the travel time. Yeah, that's why. I mean, the body clocks, that's a real thing in sports. It's the reason why on shows during the football season, we'll talk about going from East Coast to West Coast. That's in a day. I mean, this is going so far out of the country
that they got to come back and play another 160 games. So I get it from that perspective. We just are not going to have things the way they used to be. We just have to get used to it.
The Seoul series, a two-game set in Seoul, South Korea, Wednesday and Thursday morning here stateside. Then the Dodgers and Padres will have more spring training games before actual opening day in just 9 days. Donnie, I heard that Rob Manfred is stepping down as MLB commissioner in 2029 if you want to make a run at that job opening. Until then, just be happy that we have baseball on the diamond, and let's focus on the actual game itself. The new acquisition, the ace of the staff for LA, not Shohei Ohtani, not Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who will pitch in game number two. Tyler Glasnow gets the opening day start for LA. He will face off against Yu Darvish on the other side. And Craig, as we anticipate for probably most of the 162 that LA will play this year, they are booked as a hefty favorite, minus 192 for the first game of 2024 in Major League Baseball. As you focus on the actual game itself, how do you see the season starting for both the Padres and the Dodgers?
Well, it's early season. It's not a forgivable environment. You don't know what is going to happen when they're playing there. If I'm not mistaken, I think the bullpens in this stadium, if I'm understanding this correctly, you can't watch the game from the bullpens. You have to watch it on TV. It's under the stadium. So there's going to be a lot of bizarre happenings. Are guys going to get amped up to come into the end of the game after they've been watching the entire game on TV? I'm not so sure. These games could be sideways. I wouldn't have any betting interest on this. The only thing that I could tell you is Glasnow in terms of his strikeout props. That's something that could potentially interest me because, again, the batters are going to be behind the pitchers. And in this spot, a real advantage, I would think, goes toward the pitchers in this two-game series. So I think Glasnow should have success. But, I mean, guys, this game could be 2-2 or 1-1 in the seventh inning. So it's not a side necessarily. And plus, everyone is in love with the Dodgers right now. It's like almost taking the Yankees in the early part of the season. So not a ton of value, I would say, laying a minus 200 on opening day.
Yeah, FanDuel has a couple of neat prop bets there for the in-game for tomorrow morning and Thursday morning. Probably should be a lot of fun to watch. Yeah. But if we just take a look at Shohei Ohtani, he is the superstar. He is going to be on display in that Dodger uniform, and we're expecting big things out of him this year. Home runs here, 39.5 on the season. To be the home run leader, a 9-1 price. And obviously here, the RBI leader at 15-1. He's going to be protected in this lineup, which means he'll see pitches. What do we expect this year out of Shohei Ohtani for you, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, he's delivered over the last few years every single time he's been asked to, including, let's not forget, this time last year. I believe it was almost 1 year ago that he participated and I believe struck out Mike Trout, if I'm not mistaken, to win the World Baseball Classic. So, yeah. I mean, this guy delivers on every stage possible. If he is healthy, he will fly over that number of 39.5. That's a really high number, guys, by the way, for a home run prop. But look, all he's got to do is focus on designated hitter the whole season. The thing is, in terms of, like, the home run champion, we've been watching baseball a long time. Like, who's to say Pete Alonso doesn't hit 50 or, you know, maybe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this year ends up hitting 50 home runs again like it did a couple years ago. So, that's not something I'd be particularly interested in. But over his 39.5 does seem reasonable. And there's not a lot of health risk, I would say, with him playing designated hitter most of the year.
Yeah. He is not going to pitch. We know that. He will not be on the bump until at least 2025 for the Dodgers. And because of that, he is not the favorite to win the National League MVP award, fourth best number at plus 950 behind two of his teammates, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, and then Ronald Acuña Jr. The reigning NL MVP winner is the favorite entering this season at 5-1. You saw the win total for the Dodgers, 103.5. You saw their price to win the National League West, minus 600. It is World Series or bust at Chavez Ravine this year for LA. Craig Mish, we appreciate the time. We'll talk later this week here on the Early Line and see you on Newswire in 40 minutes. Back on TEL in just a few.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, you just look at this segment and you'll see what we break down here. And there's a reason he is known as the jack of all trades. That is FanDuel's Tom Vecchio that joins us on this Tuesday morning for his prop perspective. We've got MLB semi-opening day in Seoul, South Korea for the Seoul Series tomorrow. He's the home run prop king. He'll let you know some bets that you have for the opener in baseball. We'll go around the association on this Tuesday evening. We'll take a look at action on the ice. Again, the jack of all trades. Steps up and in, and his name is Tom Vecchio. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Awesome time of the year. Baseball is finally here. Next week's opening day, I'll be back. We'll do a full dive into some baseball season-long props along with some home run stuff, NBA to get to, yep. NHL to get to. Let's go.
Let's dive right in, Vecchio. There is a lot to get to here, as you just alluded to. The next 2 days in Seoul, South Korea, it's the Seoul Series. First pitch, 6:06 a.m. Eastern time between the Dodgers and the Padres. The first game of the MLB season in 2024. For L.A., Tyler Glasnow gets the start on opening morning. On the other side for San Diego, it is Yu Darvish. The Dodgers booked as nearly a $2 favorite at minus 194. Vecchio, what is the approach to the opener of the season in Seoul?
Well, when it comes to this park, everything that I've seen, it's 325 down the line, 400 to center. It's roughly like Petco Park or Busch Stadium in St. Louis. It could be a slight boost to home runs. Should be pretty average overall. Early in the season, I think we got to lean on pitcher unders when it comes to strikeouts. Glasnow had 36 pitches in his last spring training start at 6.5 as a strikeout prop, minus 148 on the under. He can be extremely efficient, but if we look at 36 pitches plus about 12 to 15, realistically, he's not getting past the fifth, sixth inning. So, yes, the efficiency can be there from Glasnow. He's an amazing strikeout pitcher, yeah. But there's no reason to push him out there that far. So I would say the same thing about Yu Darvish, who only went 26 and 21 pitches in his last two spring training starts.
Yeah, and as always with Major League Baseball, Tom, it's a lot of fun to sort of weigh it. Do you want to take the total over in this game? Because we know it's in a dome, but I'm not so sure they have humidors over there in South Korea that they use. Which baseballs? Are we going to juice them up for opening day to make sure we get that excitement? The only sport we have to worry about, the actual equipment in the sport here, which then leads me to take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers on the season itself. You want to bet them? It's an expensive price across the board. Team total, 103.5. You take a look at the NLS, a minus 600, which they didn't even win the division last year, and there's some quality opponents. The NL pennant, plus 165, and then the World Series at a plus 320 price. Tom, let me ask you this question. Do you have any pieces of the Dodgers, or also, do you see any value in still betting those numbers with the Dodgers?
There's no value in betting for the Dodgers. I think there's value in betting against the Dodgers literally every single day. And I told Kevin about this a couple weeks ago on Game Time Decisions. If you bet against the Dodgers on the money line every single day, bet on their opponents, that is 162 times. I'm working on the math. Can you come out net positive? Because the money lines are going to be so drastic. When the Dodgers are at home, they're minus 3,400 against some of these teams. Can you still win, like, I don't know, 33% of the bets if they go 110 and 52? Can you come out positive, net positive, in terms of betting on opponent money lines? Because when they play the Rockies, they're going to be minus 400, right? So you're not laying that number. Might as well bet on some of the underdogs and bank on the variance of baseball to bring you out net positive. So there's no value in betting on the Dodgers for them. It's actually betting against them, which probably brings the most value this year.
Yeah, and you're going to see it in the day-to-day prices that you will see for the Dodgers. You will see it in the outlook there from the odds. Minus 600 to win the NL West, and 103.5 is that win total. Vecchio, we had the conversation with Craig Mish. Would love your thoughts here. We'll go deeper into our MLB previews next week as well. Is it World Series or bust for the Dodgers this year? Is anything less than a World Series championship going to be able to be deemed as a successful year at Chavez Ravine?
It's probably World Series or bust, and I would say over the time frame of the Ohtani Yamamoto contracts that they have built this core. It's not specifically this year, but like over the next 7 to 10 years, they need to win at least 3 or 4. So 1 year, maybe they don't get it done because there's some growing pains or whatever. Maybe not everyone's fully healthy come the end of the year, but like over the next 7 years, they have to win at least 3 or 4, or it's just an abject failure.
take a look here at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Superstars across the board, none brighter than Shohei Ohtani. We're expecting big things this year. We know he's not going to pitch. That'll probably be tabled until next year. Home runs, 39.5. Home run leader, 9-1 price. RBI leader at a 15-1 price. And also, I ask you this. Do you have any shares of any Shohei Ohtani, but more importantly, any shares of a possible MVP run here for Shohei Ohtani coming up at a plus 950 price? And just to show you how deep the Dodgers are, yeah, Acuna's the favorite at 5-1. Then three Dodgers, Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani right in a row. Talk to us about some showtime out there in L.A.
So the best prop for Ohtani would probably be to lead the league in RBIs. When it comes, like, if I had to make a decision right now, he's not going to win MVP, and he's not going to be in the field. So that's an immediate downgrade. And when we look at what Acuna can do, if he goes for 40 and 60 again with 60 stolen bases while playing the field every day, that is just better than what Ohtani's going to be doing only as a DH. So when we're looking at the MVP market at 9.5-1, that's not the spot to go. You know, guys just talked about on the last segment with Craig, like, he's going to be in an awesome spot in that lineup next to Mookie, next to Freddie Freeman. The RBIs are going to come from him. So over 39.5 home runs, he probably gets there. I don't want to go there necessarily. But at 18-1, I think that's what it said, to lead the league in RBIs. That's probably the best Ohtani prop this year.
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani not on the bump this season for the Dodgers, but will certainly be at the dish many, many times. Now we go to basketball. A huge game tonight in Minneapolis between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. Only a 5-game slate around the association on this Tuesday evening. This is the marquee matchup. Both Minnesota and Denver trail Oklahoma City for that top spot by only a 0.5 game. But Vecchio, you will see this here. Minnesota, sure, on the second leg of a back-to-back with a change of venue from Salt Lake back to the Twin Cities. But at home, the T-Wolves, a 7.5-point dog against the Denver Nuggets. And Anthony Edwards does have a points prop listed at this moment. Vecchio, why is the spread so large in favor of Denver?
That's because we know that Karl Anthony Towns is out. Rudy Gobert didn't play last night. He's listed as questionable for tonight. Naz Reid, who got the start at center last night, only played 17 minutes and left early, which means they are going to be significantly shorthanded, especially if Gobert does not play when it comes to big men, which means this could be a huge Jokic game. Not a surprise, as it could be every game. But specifically, I like Michael Porter over 22.5 points plus rebounds. It's minus 125. This just could be a spot where Porter, Aaron Gordon, and Jokic steal all the rebounds tonight because Minnesota simply has no size out there. If Kyle Anderson and Jaden McDaniels are going to be required to do the heavy lifting, and maybe even Luka Garza seeing some minutes, that is not a spot that the Timberwolves want to be in. It's simply an advantageous spot for the Nuggets, who are coming off a full rest. It's all about Denver tonight.
Let's head down to the Lone Star State here. Dallas Mavericks and the San Antonio Spurs, a heavy favorite here for the Dallas Mavericks at -9. The one thing I was interested in over the weekend was we saw that hamstring injury, that tightness from Luka Doncic. Didn't have any tightness as they had an unbelievable game against the Denver Nuggets, winning in the final moments with a Kyrie Irving de facto hook shot. But they're favored by close to double digits tonight over the Spurs. Tom, what are we looking at from this game between the Mavs and the Spurs?
As usual, it's not going to any of the star players. It's going to a secondary market, and that's probably something to do with Daniel Gafford points plus rebounds. He was obviously extremely efficient week and a half ago when he hit, I don't know, 24 whatever it was, field goals in a row. But just because of the pace of this game with super high over-under, even though it's not like the best matchup going against Wembanyama, Wembanyama's not going to be out there for the whole game, and Dallas is still pushing for playoffs / play-in. So Gafford having close to 22 or so points plus rebounds combined is probably the best spot to go.
Right now, Dallas in the 7th spot, but only a 0.5 game behind Sacramento, who currently occupies that 6th seed in the Western Conference standing. San Antonio, though, has been covering more as of late. 9 of their last 13, the Spurs have covered against the number. New Orleans, a hefty road favorite tonight in Brooklyn, 7.5-point spread in favor of the Pels. What's the breakdown inside the Barclays Center?
That's going to CJ McCollum under 16.5 points. And, you know, this is a really easy matchup going up against the Nets. The problem with McCollum, and it's not really anything against him, it's just he gets pushed out of the offense sometimes because Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram are doing everything. So it's not like McCollum's doing anything wrong. He just doesn't have to be the main guy in offense. And, you know, his points are kind of trending down, at least to start March compared to where they were. His field goal attempts are inconsistent. He's not shooting as well as he has for three. So McCollum under is probably the best spot to go, just simply because someone else and everyone else on the Pelicans just can have a big game. He doesn't need to have a big game realistically.
You want March Madness? You got it starting tonight. You want Ice Madness? 13 games on the slate tonight in the NHL. Tom, any thoughts on any one of those games that really pique your interest here?
That's really simple tonight. David Pastrnak for the Bruins, over 4.5 shots on goal. It's plus 100. He leads the league with 331 shots on goal. It's 4.7 per game. He's coming off a game where he had just a single shot on goal, and he's going up against the Senators. They're allowing 64.5 total shot attempts per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations since the start of March. That is the fourth worst in the league. So Bruins in a good spot to grab a few points after the Panthers have slipped the past two games. So Bruins coming away with the win. Pastrnak probably scoring as usual. A lot of shots on goal for him tonight as well.
That's how you know Tom Vecchio is the best and the jack of all trades. We just showed you a board there. Six games of the 13 on the ice in the National Hockey League tonight. And Vecchio goes off board as the Bruins greater than a $2 favorite at home inside TD Garden against the Ottawa Senators. That is how much NHL action there is on this Tuesday. So let's show Tom's top props, the prop perspective on this Tuesday night as well. Mookie Betts for the early start tomorrow in the Seoul series between the Padres and the Dodgers. Two plus total bases. Michael Porter Jr. tonight for the Nuggets in a huge matchup in Minneapolis. CJ McCollum under 16.5. The Pels, though, a 7.5-point favorite in Brooklyn. And David Pastrnak over 4.5 shots on goal for the Bruins tonight at home against the Senators. Vecchio, that is a masterclass, my friend. We appreciate the time. We'll talk next week to get ready for a new year in Major League Baseball.
Sounds great. Can't wait to be here.
Vecchio gave you thoughts on the NHL, on MLB, on the NBA. Now it's time to go dance in Dayton, Ohio. The first pool, a breakdown next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight we go dancing in Dayton, Ohio. It is the first four that officially tips off the 2024 men's NCAA tournament. Tonight in Dayton, tomorrow night in Dayton. Two matchups apiece. That equals four. It's the first four. The first game of the 2024 men's big dance. It is Wagner, the champs of the NEC, and Howard, the champions of the MEAC. You like points? Go watch the five-game slate in the NBA. You're not going to see a lot of offense in either of the two matchups tonight in Dayton. But before we get there, Donnie loves a team out of the West region that is as steady as they come. In the WCC, St. Mary's was a perfect 15-0 before its regular season finale against Gonzaga. But they bounced back, winning both games in the WCC tournament, including the title game over the Zags. Donnie's feeling good. We're not sure where the guy – I thought we were showing the picture. Are we not? Or did you just want to show it to Donnie in the break?
How are you going to set this up?
Are we allowed to?
Yeah, come on now.
I think we're allowed. I'm trying to. I wanted to see it in preview. There it is. As Donnie said, St. Mary's, run with me to the Final Four. There is Tupac himself in a St. Mary's jersey. It is maybe now the new mascot for Donnie's Gales here in March.
Two things synonymous with one making great music. So that's Tupac there in Death Row and then St. Mary's. I mean, you know, you want to get into that clash moving forward. You don't want to get school against Tupac. He was talking about St. Mary's, Ben, back in the 90s. Look at that picture. What's that from? I mean, Tupac passed away, what, 96, 97? So he's been a fan for 20, 30 plus years at this point here. I mean, by the way, that picture might be from yesterday. We don't know that. I mean, come on now. So I hear where you're going on this
one. Don't you start.
You got to back Tupac. Back Donnie, back Tupac. Let's go here. You never know.
I think I can confidently say this is the only sports media program in the country that will look at the NCAA tournament and give you a handicap on St. Mary's that invokes Tupac Shakur. That would be my guess.
Yeah, I really need this to work for because this has a feeling to gain momentum here as I retweet this every 15 minutes when St. Mary's is playing. So this is like one of the better Photoshops I've seen here. And some are saying, is it actually a Photoshop at this point? It's not, people. He loves St. Mary's. I love St. Mary's. Let's go in this magic. You tell me right now, Ben, we get to the Final Four and we got Tupac out here, hologram or not, performing with a St. Mary's jersey on, ready to go. I mean, tremendous stuff here. Tupac didn't like the Raiders. He loves St. Mary's. Man, come on now.
Where in the world is Kate Middleton? Where in the world is Tupac in his St. Mary's jersey? By the way, the Gales in the final game of Friday night, a 5.5-point favorite in the round of 64 against Grand Canyon University. St. Mary's from Northern California. Of course, we know Tupac likes Southern California more, but still, maybe he would ride with the boys from Moraga. Yeah. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the first four in Dayton, Ohio. The nightcap tonight is Virginia in Colorado State. The Rams out of the Mountain West, a 2.5-point favorite. UVA earning an at-large bid, much to the dismay of Donnie Wrightside. The over-under is a Virginia basketball game, 120 in a hook. It did open, though, on Selection Sunday evening at 118.5. Let's start with this. How mad is Donnie going to be to see UVA out there in an NCAA tournament game tonight in Dayton?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not going to see him at all because of the time that this game starts at 9:10. So when I wake up in the morning, I'll see how angry I want to be at my television, which by watching the highlights and checking the box score. But quite frankly, I talked about this last week. Like, I took, you know, Virginia to win against NC State at -2.5. They should have won that game. It didn't, because they can't shoot free throw shots and they couldn't close out their opponent. But rightfully so, we're finding UVA back in this. And it starts off at 9:10, which means that first game is probably going to delay it, which means we'll start at 9:30, which is ludicrous. Don't even get me going down this angle. But having said that, if you want to watch this game, you'll be asleep in the first 5 minutes from boredom here because of UVA at this point. So also, you know where my sentiments are. I'm not hate handicapping against UVA because I took them in their last game, even though I don't like UVA and their style of basketball. I do think Colorado State's the better basketball team tonight, and I think they win this game.
I bet Colorado State money line earlier this week. There is a 25% profit boost on our lovely sponsor, the FanDuel Sportsbook, that you can use for a first four game over the next two nights in Dayton. Now that it's a 2.5 spread in favor of the Rams under Nico Medved, maybe it's an idea that you do that as well on the money line for a game that is going to be close. It is going to be ugly. Virginia is the slowest team in college basketball. There are 362 Division I men's college basketball programs. Virginia is 362 in terms of the adjusted tempo. Colorado State in the bottom 100 as well, around the 270 number. But here's the really big difference about this year's team under Tony Bennett in Charlottesville versus any other. They have always been one of the slowest-paced teams in college hoops. In fact, when they won a national championship in 2019, they were the slowest team in college basketball. But they were the second most efficient offense. This year, they're 194th. Sure, they're a top-10 defense. Sure, no bucket is going to be easy to come by against UVA's pack line defense. But Colorado State is one of the best teams at moving the basketball in the country. They score and they assist on a score on 65.7% of their points. Give me Colorado State again tonight on that money line price. And then I would look at what the Rams might be able to do beyond that in the round of 64. Why? Because 11 of the 12 years we have seen the first four format to kick off the NCAA tournament, we have seen a first four team also win a game at least in the round of 64 as well.
Yeah, and this game, it's a good matchup between these two opponents. And also keep in mind, Dayton Rims over the past couple of years, not really taking a look at numbers-wise, but seem a little bit tighter than what your home gym might provide. And also, in an environment where the loser goes home, you're going to have some ratcheted up defensive intensity. But if we're focusing on Virginia's offense, it's not very good, Ben. The one thing you can say about them is a positive. They don't turn the basketball over. They're a solid three-point shooting team, but don't rely on the three. So it's not one of those advantages where you expect, let's just say, 35-plus three-point shots out of Virginia tonight. And also keep in mind, when you get into March Madness, the pressure ratchets up. I understand that here. You want great free throw shooters. You don't have that on Virginia. As a team, Ben, 355th in the nation. So when you talk about, if let's just say Virginia was high octane, Ben, right? You get an extra 15 to 20 possessions a game. Maybe you look at the free throw shooting and go, okay, that's just a byproduct. They're not that good. They'll have plenty of opportunities. But if you're in a slow down game, every opportunity matters. Number one, you don't get to the free throw line that much. And number two, you don't make your free throws. That should be the downfall of the team in March Madness. And that's going to be the downfall for Virginia tonight for me.
So Virginia has not won a game in the NCAA tournament since winning the national championship in 2019. They got there in 2021, bounced by Ohio, did not reach the NCAA tournament in 22, were there a season ago as a four seed, and they were ousted by Furman, the Paladins, in a wild game in the round of 64 to start off Thursday. That pressure is very much there for Virginia tonight. I just don't think they're a great basketball team. Give me the Rams. This game from the Midwest region, whoever wins will be the 10 seed in the Midwest in that portion of the bracket to take on the 7 seed Texas on Thursday in the round of 64. If Virginia goes, I'll probably take Texas. If Colorado State wins, I'm going to take the Rams over the Longhorns. The first game of the first four, the first game of the 2024 men's NCAA tournament, Wagner and Howard, the two teams that rank 67 and 68 out of the 68 teams in this field, according to KenPom. Wagner was not anticipated to win the NEC. They pulled upset after upset. The Seahawks won three road games for the first time in NEC tournament history to earn the conference championship. Howard here for a second consecutive year out of the MEAC. The Bison now a 3.5-point favorite in the total, 128.5. If Virginia is the slowest team in hoops, Wagner is the second slowest team. 361 is the adjusted tempo.
This probably is trending to an under, no doubt about it. But if you take a look at these, both of these teams' matchup, look at Wagner on offense, 334th in the nation. Say, okay, what's Howard's defense? 334th in the nation. So we got a stalwart battle here. But also, let's flip it over to Howard's offense, because they do some things that are decent here that you might be able to get away with a victory. And I do think Howard overall is the better team. Look at their three-point shooting, Ben. Top 20 in the country at 37%. And also, they shoot it at volume, 131st in the nation. So it's not one of those things like, hey, you know what? We'll shoot three or four a night. We'll make our fair share, but we're not going to force any three-point shots. Here's the interesting part of it. Wagner's a top 10 defense in the country at defending from three-point range, only allowing their opponents to 29%, which is incredible. However, Ben, they let you shoot whatever you want from three-point range. 306th in the nation at chasing you off of the free throw of the three-point line. So if I'm just being honest, look, Howard's defense isn't very good, but I can't trust an offense that's 331st in the nation, or 334 in the nation, excuse me, and goes at a slow tempo. Just give me the team with a pulse on offense, and that's Howard. I think Howard wins this game, and it probably stays under the total for me, Ben.
Yeah, 128.5 is a very low number. Howard went over in both of its two games to win the MEAC, including in the upset of the top seed in the conference, Norfolk State, in the semifinal just this past weekend. One thing that Howard does well is they pace you up defensively, and they are at least 163 in terms of tempo, at least in the top half of college basketball. They are not fast, but they are not slow, and that could allow us to go over a total of 128.5. Of course, the winner of tonight's game will be the 16 seed firmly in the West region. They will take on North Carolina. UNC was projected to be a 21.5-point favorite against Howard, a 24.5-point favorite against Wagner. A couple of thoughts in the five-game slate around the NBA tonight. We start with the West test in Minneapolis. The Timberwolves, a 7.5-point home underdog against the Denver Nuggets. No Karl Anthony Towns, but that's been the case. So the line does look a little bit large to me, Donnie.
It does. And also, let's put two ingredients together here, Ben, right? Typically, you're saying the Denver Nuggets are a great ball club, and they are, but they're favored by 7.5 points. But if you're saying, well, Minnesota's off that back-to-back, of course they're going to rest. Are you telling me they're just going to throw a game to the Nuggets and therefore give them a full game advantage here to get into first place? I don't buy that. I expect to get a big performance out of the Timberwolves. Now, having said that, I'm going to take the 7.5 points. That line is screaming and begging you to take Minnesota, and I'm going to do that here. So it is a Nuggets line, but you can't just roll over in this game and say, have this, because standings are massive down the stretch here, Ben. Give me the T-Wolves here.
Denver, a road favorite 25 times in this NBA season, only 11-14-1 against the spread. Could the Nuggets win this game outright? Sure, but the ramifications, as Donnie is alluding to, are tremendous. Both teams a half game behind Oklahoma City at this moment for that number one overall seed. And when you look at Minnesota, they've won three straight games, including outright against the Clippers just last week as a dog. They've covered in all three games that they have won. A big game for Dallas. They're a half game behind Sacramento. That 6-7 split. The Mavericks would be the top team in the play-in tournament, but trying to get out of that, laying near double digits tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. In Orlando, we find the best cover team in the NBA. That is the Magic, 12.5-point favorite against the Hornets.
Yeah, they probably pound the Hornets in that game tonight. I'd lay the double digits and also take a look at that minuscule 203.5. I don't care how bad the Hornets are, the Magic just want to play defense. You got to go 100. Come on now. I got to go over that.
45-23. Orlando now the only team in the NBA covering at a greater than 60% clip. And it's 66.2, 45-23 against the spread for the Magic. We will give you a best bet on this Tuesday evening. I know I'm going dancing and dating. We'll see what Donnie does as well. We come back on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out our 3 hours together live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. Before we go, and before we say farewell, it is time for a best bet. As the 2024 men's NCAA tournament officially tips tonight in Dayton, Ohio, we have two first four matchups. First, it is Wagner and Howard, 3.5-point spread in favor of Howard, the champions of the MEAC, a total at 128.5. Then the nightcap in Dayton, it is going to be Colorado State and Virginia. Right now, the Rams, a 2.5-point favorite, a lower total than even the opening game, 120 and a hook. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for bye-bye-bye. You know, DRS, it's not just the big dance tonight that starts in Dayton. It's not just the NBA slate or what the action is on the NHL. By the time we see each other tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, the Major League Baseball season will have begun.
Yes, it will. And people like me singing here. If you go back to Coming to America, they said this. And I think this was talking about this series here. Just let your soul glow. See that? Boom. Tomorrow, the Soul Series. We're getting after it. Shohei Ohtani, ribeye steak. One RBI or more, Ben, at a plus 100 price. Easy to find at the FanDuel Sportsbook under Bets and Breakfast. Had to bring the people here some NBA action. So, Ben, just let your soul glow, man. Just let your soul glow.
I mean, your octave, your pitch, it is truly sensational. Pretty good. Only is it the bit of you singing, but it's good, too. Which is something that is difficult for me to wrap my head around. We'll have in-game live. We'll have in-game live updates tomorrow on a Wednesday as the Soul Series between the Dodgers and the Padres will be underway. For me, it's first four action tonight in Dayton. We go dancing. Virginia's a bad basketball team. They're terrible offensively. Sure, the pace is slow. Colorado State is just better offensively. The Rams outright on the money line. Use that 25% profit boost. Take minus 150 down to minus 120 and have Colorado State survive and advance. 8 a.m. Eastern tomorrow on a Wednesday on the early line. We'll talk then.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.